Blog Talk Radio.
Devon Harley here, your travel pro and host of Traveling Culturati, with the top reasons to visit Ghana: history, friendly people, Ghanaian hospitality, and unsurpassed natural beauty. Ghana has it all, but the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me and Advantage International. The wait is over. The dates are set. Join us in Ghana September 8th through the 16th. We'll start in the capital city of Accra and visit the W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Pan-African Culture. We'll follow the history of the slave trade and visit the infamous forts, castles, and slave dungeons on the Elmina and Cape Coast, September 8th through the 16th. Fly South African Airways, Africa's most awarded airline, nonstop from Washington, D.C., and stay in deluxe accommodations. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete details. That's advantage-intl.com. See you on the plane.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Traveling Culturati, exploring the style and culture of travel with travel pro Devon Harley, exclusively on HUR Voices.
Hey there, and welcome to the Traveling Culturati with me, your host and travel pro Devon Harley. The website, travelingculturati.com, is where I want you to go and sign up, because we want you to join the travel club. Now, today I'm focusing on hotels with food and wine focus, because sometimes the hotel is the destination. And I've got some great ones for you, too, so make sure you hang in there with me and learn all about it. Each week, I bring you Javon's Travel Minute, the question of the week, and the culture report. But right now, I've got some travel news. Is all-inclusive better than pay-as-you-go? Well, the Today's Show went undercover to see if the all-inclusive rates really save you more money. Two employees of the show, Jeff Rosen and Lindsay Baumman, went to the Dominican Republic. Lindsay paid the all-inclusive rates, while Jeff paid for everything. Now, guess who ended up spending more money? It was Lindsay, who paid the all-inclusive rate. They compared their bill at the end of the trip, and keep in mind that they both ordered the same meals and drinks and participated in the exact same activities, while it was Jeff who paid as he went who saved the most money. Jeff saved a whopping $375 during their trip. After they tallied up their bills and confronted the hotel replied, saying that Jeff did not maximize his benefits of enjoying the simplicity of paying the all-inclusive rates, which actually makes no sense because he and his co-worker did everything alike and he saved more money. The bottom line here is every resort is different, so that's why it's up to you to do the research and to get the best rates before you book your trip. You also want to consider the destination. This is something that I usually recommend or suggest to my clients, that every destination isn't an all-inclusive destination, meaning some destinations it's better to eat some of your meals outside of the hotel, and there's a lot more to enjoy off of the property. And in some destinations, you're better off and you have more options and you save more money if you eat at the hotel. So those are things that you need to consider. Now, you ever think, how is the dollar doing, and where can I travel to get the most bang for my buck? Well, right now, you're actually in a very good position because the U.S. dollar is quite strong. And while it's quite strong, you want to consider some of those destinations where the dollar is very strong against their currency, but also where it may have been a little weaker before, and so you may have shied away from that destination. Here are some places that you'll want to consider where you will get big bang bang for your buck. South Africa is one of them. South Africa is a destination that I travel to often, and I have seen over the last 5 years or so the dollar getting stronger and stronger. At the same time, the rand is getting a bit weaker. So that just means that it is hooray for the U.S. dollar. For example, if you were to take a four-day luxury safari trip in Kruger National Park, today you'd pay about $965. A few years ago, you would have paid $2,200. Back in 2010, the dollar to the rand was 1 to 7. So for every one U.S. dollar, you got 7 rand. Well, now it's 1 to 15. So for every U.S. dollar, you're getting 15 rand. Another destination to consider is Russia. Russia has never been more affordable, with all of the lovely monuments to visit, like the churches of St. Petersburg, the city of Moscow, and the Great Siberian Train Journey. That's one of those luxury trains. And with today's rate of $1 to 70 rubles, that would cost you around $57 a day savings. That's about 57% of what you would have paid a few years ago. Another saving destination is Brazil. Brazil's finances are suffering because of dropping oil prices and preparation for the 2016 Olympics. That means that travelers can capitalize and save up to 58%, and still with the benefit of possibly checking out the 2016 Olympics. And another one on the list is Japan, where you can save up to 33% and only spend about $155 a day instead of $230 a day as an average years ago. And I just went to Japan back in January, and it wasn't as expensive as it used to be or that I thought it was going to be. So check out Japan. Actually, we have a trip that will be coming up in November of this year. So again, you want to make sure you join that travel club so you can hear all about it. And last but not least is Europe. We know that the dollar has been so weak against the euro. Well, that is no longer the case. I've seen that change over the years as well, where at one point we were spending almost 2-to-1 against the euro. We're now, we are almost on par. The strongest the dollar has been, or the weakest the euro has been against the dollar in many years, or probably since the inception of the euro. So you can enjoy great savings. The only thing that I would tell you about Europe is it's still about the destination, because any country that is on the euro, you're using the same currency, but each country can be very different as far as the cost of living and what an average vacation is going to cost you. Italy, for example, is going to be more expensive than France, and France is going to be more expensive than Greece. Greece is actually probably one of your biggest savings in Europe right now. So off to Europe you go. Oh, the war is on. I have been keeping you abreast of this over the past few months, and especially over the last couple of weeks. This is the war for Starwood. Last week, Marriott raised its bid on Starwood, but AmBank came back this week and topped Marriott's most recent bid. Remember, this is a triangle. This is Starwood, Marriott bidding to purchase or merge with Starwood, and AmBank, which is a company from China that is trying to actually have a little takeover here. Starwood Hotels and Resorts received a $14 billion takeover offer from the China-based company. Analysts speculate that Marriott might not be able to compete with the insurance company's latest bid. Another higher bid from Marriott would probably result in earnings dilution and may prove challenging in securing Marriott shareholders or even its own board approval. An AmBank-led purchase of Starwood would mark the largest takeover of a U.S. company by a Chinese investor. If the AmBank Group's new offer becomes binding, Marriott could walk away with a $450 million breakup fee. Well, let's see if that happens. I will continue to keep you updated on this story and see what gives, or who gives, I should say. New cruise trends you'll definitely want to know about are coming soon. According to the leaders of the world's biggest passenger lines, there's never been a better time than right now to take a cruise. Cruise lines estimate a record-setting 24 million people will vacation by ship this year. The CEO and chairman of Royal Caribbean Cruises says that people still have the wrong impression of what cruising is and what it can be, which is why they plan to add more itineraries and amenities. Sea Trade has listed the six hottest trends to persuade people to cruise this year. The first one is Cuba. Cuba has become one of the top destinations to travel to, which could lead to more activities in the Caribbean. Second, river cruising is bouncing back and new ships sailing across Paris. The third attraction is Crystal Cruise Line's major expansion. Crystal Cruise Lines will be launching their mega yacht sailing to Antarctica by the year 2018, along with a fleet of jets to charter you to and from the cruises. The fourth trend is the accessibility of the new and improved mega yachts that will be able to travel anywhere. And five, the cuisine. Chef Thomas Keller will open his first cruise ship restaurant featuring mixologist Brian Van Flandern, creating fantastic drinks, and last but not least, the Caribbean. Norwegian Cruise Line has added heart-racing activities like kayaking, hiking, and paddleboarding, new villas, new beaches, and so much more. Cruise lines have really stepped up their game to offer an enjoyable time, so go have some fun and see what the buzz is all about on cruising. Airbus is unveiling the plane cabin that social media built. Thanks to customers who use the internet and social media, Airbus will be unveiling its new A330neo aircraft in 2017. Airbus hopes to persuade airlines to pay attention to online customers' feedback in an effort to design a plane that is more spacious, decorative, affordable, and comfortable to passengers. Airbus already has a good reputation. However, they're looking to enhance their customers' experience, and they have added ambient LED lighting, wheelchair accessibility, wider seats, larger overhead bins for luggage, and a whole lot more. So I hope that this new cabin that social media built, the airlines will embrace. Now, unfortunately, an American Airlines pilot was arrested after failing a breathalyzer test. No drinking and driving, and the same rules apply in the air. No drinking and flying. American Airlines canceled Flight 736 from Detroit to Philadelphia after the co-pilot was removed from the flight for being intoxicated. The co-pilot, whose name was not released, was exhibiting strange behavior, which prompted a TSA agent to alert the proper authorities. The co-pilot was detained and failed two breathalyzer tests, which later led to his arrest. American stated that they are assisting local law enforcement and the Federal Aviation Administration with the investigation. They also went on to say that they will handle this incident in the appropriate manner, and safety and care of their customers and employees is their highest priority. It's a good thing that the TSA agent was aware of the co-pilot's behavior and acted immediately to prevent what could have turned into a horrible or fatal situation. I always like to give you something very interesting to think about. How about a woman being rescued after jumping into the ocean to swim for the cruise ship that left her behind? A 65-year-old woman nearly risked her life by jumping into the Atlantic Ocean after missing the cruise ship she intended to vacation on. Susan Brown was discovered swimming in the ocean by a fisherman who pulled her to safety. Brown had been swimming for about 3 hours, which caused her to develop a severe case of hypothermia, trying to catch up with her cruise ship. Local fisherman Marildo Freitas told the Daily Mail Online that Mrs. Brown is lucky to be alive because she was barely conscious when he found her. She might not have lasted in the water another 30 minutes. Brown and her husband Michael were traveling together for a 32-day cruise when they decided to cut their trip short. They were separated on a stop in Madeira at the airport where they were purchasing two tickets home. Suddenly, Susan changed her mind about cutting her trip short. Meanwhile, her husband flew back to England without her, and once she realized her boat was leaving, she jumped into the icy water and managed to stay afloat until thanks to her handbag and the fisherman spotting. Fortunately, Mrs. Brown is said to be okay. And I certainly hope that she is. And I just don't understand why she didn't think that she could just take a flight to the next port and meet the ship there rather than trying to swim after it. Well, that's all I've got for you today with Travel News. And when I come back, I'm going to have Javon's Travel Minute, Hotels with Food and Wine Focus, and the Question of the Week. I'm Javon Harley, and this is the Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Traveling Culturati, the style and culture of travel. Visit the website, travelingculturati.com.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
I recently read about a travel tip in a beauty magazine to lubricate the inside of your nostrils with Neosporin to reduce the risk of getting sick while flying. So I went on a search to see where this tip came from and if any medical experts had weighed in on it. I wanted to know if it was safe and does it really work. While I found many articles listing this tip, I didn't find the origin of it. I did, however, find some medical comments about it. One, Neosporin is not intended for internal use and not suggested to be administered in any of your body's cavities. Two, the antibacterial action of Neosporin is unlikely to act as a barrier for airborne illnesses. What does help is moisturizing the inside of Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Traveling Culturati, the style and culture of travel. Visit the website, travelingculturati.com.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
I recently read about a travel tip in a beauty magazine to lubricate the inside of your nostrils with Neosporin to reduce the risk of getting sick while flying. So I went on a search to see where this tip came from and if any medical experts had weighed in on it. I wanted to know if it was safe and does it really work. While I found many articles listing this tip, I didn't find the origin of it. I did, however, find some medical comments about it. One, Neosporin is not intended for internal use and not suggested to be administered in any of your body's cavities. Two, the antibacterial action of Neosporin is unlikely to act as a barrier for airborne illnesses. What does help is moisturizing the inside of your nose to promote your body's own germ flushing system. You can do this with a nasal saline solution. This is Javon, and that is your Travel Minute. I'm so excited about today because I'm such an epicurean, a.k.a. foodie. Sometimes when I have a free day, whether I'm escorting a group, traveling for business, or on vacation, I like to relax and hang out in the hotel. So I look for hotels that are food and wine focused because I want a good dining experience and I want a hotel I don't want to leave. And today, more hotels are teaming up with top chefs for their restaurants locations, and they're also hiring some sommeliers. Now, I'm going to tell you about some of my favorites and some that I've found in my research that I want to share with you. Food and Wine magazine published a list of best new star chef hotel restaurants, and I found a few of them very intriguing. Actually, I added them to my list of places that I want to go and check out. Let's start with the One Hotel South Beach in Miami Beach, Florida. Now, if you're into eco-friendly properties, you'll love this hotel. They have a strong focus on sustainability. They have a Do Not Disturb sign that's printed on repurposed cardboard from shipping containers. They have Teslas that are on call for guests, and the chef, Tom Colicchio, runs all of their restaurants, and that's what put them on the list. Chef Colicchio is an acclaimed chef with a very long resume. He's the recipient of 5 James Beard Foundation Awards for cooking accomplishments, and he's been the head judge on every season of Bravo TV reality show Top Chef and Best New Restaurant, which he also executive produces. This is one busy guy, and this is one serious guy. Chef Colicchio says they spent months sourcing everything from Florida. There are 4 restaurants at One Hotel South Beach. Beachcraft, where Colicchio collaborates with executive chef and South Florida native Michael Fiorello, and where locally caught fish, seafood dishes, and vegetables are center stage, along with antibiotic free meat. The One Rooftop is led by executive chef Fernando Cruz and chef de cuisine Catalina Ucros. One Rooftop showcases organic and local ingredients on the menu, with contemporary Mediterranean and Latin flavors served tapas style. And you can't leave out the craft cocktails, and they have an organic wine selection. Then they have the Sandbox. That's a cantina-style poolside dining by Tom Colicchio. Fresh-made antojitos, tacos, bruschettas, tortas, and seasonal cocktails and fresh juices are served. There's also Tom on the Collins. Yeah, play on words there. It's a farm-to-bar lobby bar. They offer a well-curated selection of local beer, wine on tap, and crafted seasonal cocktails with a menu of snacks. They have flatbreads and small plates, all by Tom Colicchio. They even have a pop-up restaurant named Prey by Chef Boone Lai, another Beard Foundation Award nominee. Chef Boone Lai infuses sustainable seafood, plant, and invasive species-based sushi style. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to make my reservation now, and I would look forward to having a different dining experience every night that I'm there. Another one on Food and Wine's pick that I love is the Durham Hotel in Durham, North Carolina. The hotel is a boutique property with 53 rooms in the heart of the city. It has mid-century architecture and was Durham's abandoned home savings bank. They have prided themselves on highlighting local talent in everything from the coffee shop to the rooftop concerts. The chef, Andrea Rusing, a James Beard Award winner, creates the food and drink menus throughout the entire hotel. And she pays tribute to America. Chef Andrea Rusing says that she was inspired by Mark Twain, who wrote amazing letters home from France about craving simple food. And the Durham has a coffee shop, a rooftop bar, and the American restaurant. And this one really piqued my interest. Baccarat Hotel in New York City. That's right, Baccarat Hotel, the French Crystal Company. They say it's a pied-à-terre living in Midtown Manhattan, and I just can't resist this. Listen to this description. In white daylight, rainbows cascading, a spectrum of swatches cast from a trillion facets. By night, dimmed shimmer and champagne flutes, gem red spheres of fresh roses. That is Baccarat. I really want to visit that property. But the rooms start at $800 a night, so I think I'll just check out the bar and restaurant. The chef, Shay Gallant, a Food and Wine Best New Chef of 2005, runs the Brasserie Deluxe. It's named Chevalier. Chef Gallant creates interpretations of French classics, tasting menu options, anything from 2 to 11 courses. You know, I got a trip coming up in May. I think I'm going to check out that bar or that tasting menu. And I love the option of anywhere from 2 to 11 courses. It depends on what you feel like, I guess. Now, here are some hotels with Food and Wine focuses that I've visited and loved. Starting with Le Quartier Français. This is a 21-room boutique hotel in Franschhoek Village in South Africa's wine country. Le Quartier Français became a part of the Liu Collection Hotel Portfolio, which is an exclusive collection that includes five-star boutique hotels set in vineyards in the Franschhoek Valley. I visited Le Quartier Français tasting room, an award-winning restaurant with a unique menu. They have an eight-course African-inspired surprise tasting menu with the option of wine pairing. You'll find all sorts of delicacies, but the menu is only presented after the dining experience. This was so much fun, and it was a culinary journey. I went by myself and just enjoyed the surprise of the menu. There's so many fun things on there, and the presentations are fantastic. And a little bit of molecular gastronomy with African wild game you can get sometimes as well. So I just love that culinary journey and that surprise culinary journey that I went on. One here in the United States, the Ritz-Carlton in Dallas, I found that to be such a gem when I visited. Not really the Ritz-Carlton kind of gal, because sometimes I can find them to be a bit stuffy, but this one wasn't at all. It's located in the uptown neighborhood along the historic McKinney Avenue near the city's central business district. It does have that Ritz-Carlton standard, but it has an elegant comfort. It's also a place where locals come to dine, drink, and hang out. And when we were there, we spotted a few celebrities, too. Morris Chestnut, to be exact. It's the Ritz without the stuffiness. And they do have some fantastic dining experiences there, too. The Ritz there is home to one of the city's finest gourmet restaurants, Fearing's Restaurant. Chef Dean Fearing showcases bold flavors of the Southwest. And I have to add that this restaurant has received countless accolades, including Restaurant of the Year and Table of the Year by Esquire magazine. But what I really love is nightly in their lobby, they have guacamologists. Yeah, that's their trademark term. So every night, this guacamologist comes out at 6 o'clock in the hotel lobby, and they prepare guacamole, fresh guacamole right there in the lobby. And alongside Dean Fearing's signature margarita samplers. How cool is that? Had such a great time. You know where I was at 6 o'clock every night at the Ritz-Carlton in Dallas. And, you know, right here in Chicago, I love the Langham Hotel. It's just a couple of years old, an excellent location with beautiful views of the city and of the Chicago River. I also love their decor. They have these glass beads that hang down that resemble water droplets, which are really just kind of paying homage to the Chicago River and the water that you can see outside. And as far as the dining experience, Travel Restaurant and Lounge, Chef Tim Graham has a contemporary take on seasonal American fare. I love the bar scene there. It feels a little separate and its own kind of entity, but the restaurant is there as well, and you can have your pick. And another one of my favorites at the Langham is their classic heritage Langham afternoon tea with Wedgwood China. The afternoon tea is served in the pavilion that's on the second floor. It has an open floor plan, and they have four windows with the reflection and the view of the Chicago River. I have to tell you that the service there is impeccable, and you can get champagne too. You know, that's one of my favorites. Another one of the trips that I took, and I absolutely love this hotel, and yeah, each day I wanted to just hang out at the hotel, the Villaggio Inn and Spa in Napa Valley. It's a luxury Napa Valley hotel. It's actually on 23 vintage acre estate, and it's been dubbed by Town and Country magazine as a pleasure seeker's heaven. It's a Tuscan-inspired style. It's in Yountville in Napa, and it features water fountains, pathways, lush Mediterranean-style gardens, just kind of places you can just find and sit, soak up the environment. Very beautiful grounds. And the guest rooms and suites are very spacious, and I love the decor. It's just simple elegance. And then there's Spa Villaggio. They have 6 massage rooms, private spa suites, indoor and outdoor oversized sunken infinity tubs, fireplaces, steam showers, wet bars, and it's a fabulous experience. So if you're into spas, you're really going to love it. And, of course, for wining and dining. Of course, you can't go to Napa without a little bit of wining and dining. What I love the most at Villaggio Inn and Spa is their signature champagne breakfast buffet. That is definitely a must. It's included in the price of the room, and I would look forward to this every morning. It was so relaxing. One, because they don't stop breakfast super early, that I love, because I'm not always an early riser. Sometimes I'm a late riser, especially if I'm on vacation or if I have a day off. The breakfast is a champagne breakfast, as I stated earlier, and that is such a great way to start your day, especially when you are on vacation. Believe me, it'll put a smile on your face. They have some of the freshest ingredients with a ton of options, and I just love the roasted vegetables, the charcuterie, the cheese selections, and of course they have those pastries and those hot made-to-order items as well. The Villaggio really does provide that inclusive experience for you. It's not an all-inclusive, but they do have a lot of key inclusive items, like the manager's wine tasting. So the hotel guests are invited for a complimentary wine tasting in the hotel lobby between 5:30 and 7 every Friday and Saturday. And that's great too, because usually hotels don't offer things like that on tea nights like Friday and Saturday. Usually you have to be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So if you're there for the weekend, then you can really experience this. Another thing is that you get a complimentary bottle of wine upon arrival. Love that, because sometimes you just don't want to leave your room. You want to enjoy that bottle of wine right there in your room with your feet up, and you're just relaxing and having a good time in your own little world. It's a great way to be greeted and to walk into your room and see this signature bottle of wine. And then for dinner and other dining experience on the property is Michael Chiarello's Bottega Napa Valley. Chef and inventor Michael Chiarello's Bottega serves rustic farm-to-table cuisine. They have fresh produce from Napa Valley. And, of course, those flavors of Italy that Chef Chiarello is known for. Bottega was named Best Newcomer by Zagat, Top 10 by Forbes, Top 20 by Esquire, and Top 100 Bay Area by Michael Bauer of the San Francisco Chronicle. And for years, Chiarello has been one of the most vocal and passionate advocates of the organic, sustainable movement, and his menu certainly does echo that vision, using locally produced food combined with making responsible choices wherever possible. So that's always very special that you know that you're working with an organization, with a company that is keen on the environment. And if that wasn't enough, they have their afternoon tea and coffee. So if you're not in the mood for tea, you can certainly have some coffee. They have it in the beautiful lobby of the hotel. And, of course, they serve the typical afternoon tea fare of scones and fresh fruit, preserves, biscotti, and finger sandwiches. And that's what I mean by they have that inclusive kind of environment without it being an all-inclusive. Last on my list that I want to talk about, the Renaissance Hotels. And I know that may be surprising. You may not think, well, the Renaissance Hotels and food and wine focus, I don't know so much. But a couple of years ago, they launched this new concept of branding, and they've branded themselves as a hotel for the curious, the adventurous, for those who see every journey as a chance to be inspired by the unexpected, intriguing, and the new. You can find that on their website. Now, at each of their 160 hotels worldwide, you'll find something unconventional to help discover genuine local experiences. That's what that new branding is all about. They have daily events like live gigs, concert gigs, or mixology classes, to local experts that they call navigators. So these navigators are locals with a passion for people, talent, and ideas of their neighborhood. They're always on hand to help you find the best experiences in the area, and they help you get plugged into the latest and greatest in the neighborhood. Each of the navigators have been handpicked to make sure you can find what the guidebooks can't tell you. You'll often see them out of the hotel in the local areas searching for the most intriguing, new, and imaginative experiences that the neighborhood has to offer. Now, whether you want to find the best bar for craft beer, mix with locals in the evening street food market, or simply just kick back and see some live local music, you can just ask your navigator and they'll really help you get plugged into what the locals are talking about. And the Renaissance hotels, they also bring these experiences into their hotel through these live gigs and their mixology classes and local fare. So I think that's a nice funky vibe. I went to one of their launches here in Chicago so that they can launch this brand and concept. It was really fantastic because there was the local talent that they brought into the hotel, as well as charging these navigators with helping you find your way at the destination. So hats off and kudos to Renaissance Hotels. And, oh, there's one more that I want to tell you about that I discovered. This one is the Dorado Beach, another Ritz-Carlton property. It's a Ritz-Carlton reserve that was a plantation, and it's now a private estate resort in Puerto Rico, inspired by the legacy of its original developer, Lawrence S. Rockefeller. It's a remote place, it's discreet, it's individualized service, and they have a deep respect for the environment that's distinguished from other luxury hotels in the Caribbean because they allow extraordinary moments to unfold in the most unexpected ways. Now, the Dorado Beach, a Ritz-Carlton reserve. They have a wide variety of amenities and facilities, including 3 18-hole golf courses. They have the beach club that features adult and family pools. They have the historic Rockefeller Nature Trail and an open-air sanctuary from land to sea. And amongst it, they have a 5-acre natural haven that's designed to inspire well-being. And they have platforms and freestanding indoor and outdoor pavilions, state-of-the-art fitness and wellness center. And, of course, we got to get to the restaurants. They have Mi Casa, which is a signature restaurant by renowned chef Jose Andres. And I've been to some of his restaurants in the States. Fabulous. They have Encanto Beach and Club Bar and Grill. It's a casual beach and poolside dining. They have Positivo Sandbar, also for casual dining, poolside, and La Cochina Gourmet, Puerto Rican coffees, homemade gelatos, and gastronomic delights. So that's another one that is on my list. So Dorado Beach in Puerto Rico, Baccarat in New York, the One Hotel South Beach in Miami are the ones that are at the top of my list of exploration. So I hope I've inspired you today to try some of these hotels or search for your own. Just remember to look for those hotels where you can have a relaxed and culinary experience. All in all, a hotel that you just don't want to leave. According to CLIA, the Cruise Line International Association, 24 million passengers are expected to cruise this year. That means that 24 million passengers will experience the safety drill and hear terms that describe critical locations on the ship. That made me wonder, how many of those 24 million really pay attention and would know what direction to go? Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Traveling Culturati, the all that you just don't...
Where the steering wheel is? That was another lead, neither one.
Cruise Line International Association, 24 million passengers are expected to cruise this year. That means that 24 million passengers will experience the safety drill and hear terms that describe critical locations on the ship. That made me wonder, how many of those 24 million really pay attention and would know what direction to go if told? So I sent Monica Bobbitt on the street to see if she could find anyone who knew the parts of a ship.
On a cruise ship, do you know what the following terms are? Stern, port, starboard, or bow? I'm here with
Mackenzie.
Mackenzie, and you are?
Michael.
Michael.
I do not, I have to admit.
You want to guess?
I think a port is where you dock the ship.
That was a good guess.
Well,
it's the stern where the steering wheel is.
That was another good guess. But no, unfortunately, neither one of those were correct.
It's unfortunate that we will go on these cruise ships, but we don't know anything about them.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your time. All right, what's your name?
Alex. I know their directions of the ship. I'm not really sure what parts of the ship, but I know there are different directions for the ship.
Hi, I'm Monica with the Traveling Culturati, and we're here with
JC. I'm not too sure. I heard of all of them, but I can't even tell you where they exactly are.
You want to guess?
I want to assume like the port, either with the front or the, is it a front?
No.
Or the back is one of the, or the side. I know it's had to deal with like an area on the top level, like.
All right, I'm here with
Brandon.
Brandon.
I have no idea.
Would you like to take a guess?
Okay, the stern is at the front, I believe, right? The others, I have no idea.
Okay, that was a great guess. Thank you so much for your time. Alrighty. Hi, what's your name?
Kayla.
Isn't the bow the front of the ship?
Good guess.
Am I close? Okay. And the stern, stern's the back, right?
See, she's really smart, and she didn't want to talk to me.
And then starboard, I don't know. It's the left, right?
No, it's the right. And so what would the other one be?
Starboard and then...
The port?
The port would be the left.
No, the right.
It'd be the right.
Thank you so much, Kayla. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Back to you, Javon. Very interesting, Monica. Maybe the cruise line industry should change it to front, rear, left side, and right side instead of the actual names that are being used. Now, the front part of the ship is called the bow. The back part is called the stern. Port or port side of the ship is on your left when you're looking forward, and starboard is on your right. Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Left side and right side instead of the actual names that are being used. Now, the front part of the ship is called the bow. The back part is called the stern. Port or port side of the ship is on your left when you're looking forward, and starboard is on your right.